to be here tonight, and I want to thank Jeff for the invite along with the oversight just to share something of what the Lord's doing through my life and whatever in the work in Ireland. So that's a tremendous privilege. Now we have some slides and no doubt they'll come up, but I always like to read a small portion of God's word no matter where we go. And if you would please turn to your Bible and go to a well-known portion of scripture, which is Matthew's Gospel chapter 9 and really the last verses of that chapter. That's verses 35 to 38. Matthew's Gospel chapter 9 verses 35. And this is God's word. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And we know God will add a blessing to the reading of his word. Now we have the... Is the wee flicker? I don't know where I put it now. Here we are. Thank you. Well, really do want to thank you for the invite to come along and share something of the work in Ireland here tonight. And I have just a few introductory slides. Now, this is something I always do, and my children, my wife say, you just put one picture and a few points on an overhead. You don't put the whole thing in one slide, so I haven't changed. There you are. But just to let you know, when you do know that, and this fellowship has a long connection with OMS, and I'm thinking of Emma there, the background has prayed for many years for OMS, and you've had various of our missionaries here, but the mission was formed in 1901 in Japan, and it was then known as the Oriental Mission Society. And since then, they've really advanced into 77 countries it is now. So we're while on the go, and the main purpose is evangelizing, reaching the lost for Jesus, and where there's no evangelical church, seeing churches planted, seeing believers discipled, and then training up national leaders. So that's the main focus. And really, the area that I'm working in now would be under the Europe area of OMS, and obviously Ireland. And just to mention, while we're going to talk about Ireland in particular tonight, the tremendous need in the continent that we live on in Europe. And actually, I just don't know the exact statistics, and I'll quote some statistics tonight, and they can be quite boring, but it's to give you a feel of the tremendous need in the continent that we live on and on the island we live on. And actually, I just pulled that off the internet, and they would put, if you take the average of all of Europe, something like 1% evangelical Christians. Now, isn't that an amazing need? I could put that in rather blunt terms. If that be the fact, there's 99 people out of every 100 on their way to a lost eternity. So Europe, which were the Great Reformation, and all of that, and many missionaries are sent out from Europe across the world now, is actually the weak relative. And now we need Europe, a move of God in Europe once again. So just as we think of Ireland in Europe, there's a tremendous need in Europe. And I have been with OMS from 2007 and played various roles. But just to let you know that our headquarters now, as far as the UK is concerned, is on Holyrood Road. And the job I used to do is now looked after by a guy, Trevor Morrow. Trevor had been 26 years with the Baptist Mission in Peru, and he's now looking after the work here in Northern Ireland. And our executive director for the United Kingdom, Walter McCorkle, also works from that office, and he comes from UTNARD. So I actually done those two roles in the past, not very well, but I've done them, and now we're involved in the work in Ireland. I never thought I might be doing that, but just to let you know about my own testimony, I was, you know my eloquent voice, it didn't come from Belfast. I was brought up on a small farm in County Fermanagh, and brought up onto the gospel, I might say. I knew the gospel from an early age, but didn't come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus until I was nearly 22 years of age, and that's 40 years ago, so that gives you a clue how young I am. But spiritually, I'm quite young, and thank God for his saving and keeping power. And I was rubbing a farm, and that's all really I knew, to be quite honest, and was involved in agriculture all my life. And then at 50 years of age, the Lord pulled me out of that to be involved in mission. So trust me, it takes you out of your comfort zone. So a lot of people down in Drogheda say they're out of their comfort zone. Well, I live out of my comfort zone all the time, including when I'm standing here. And the Lord wants you out of his comfort zone, and he wants you to rely on him totally. And then he just, you have to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit just working through you. And I can tell you, he has a wee job for us all. You in your small corner and I in mine. So from about 2016, I've been more involved in the Republic of Ireland and a few wee ministries here in Northern Ireland, and I want to share that tonight. Now, it's a small island, and if you look on the world map, you'd hardly see us. And yet, trust me, the Lord has his eye in Ireland, this wee Emerald Isle, and we live in this very particular place up here in Northern Ireland, a small population of about 1.8 million people. And then in the Republic of Ireland, there's about 4.8 million. About 6.5 or 6.6 million people live on this island. But I can tell you this, for people for whom Christ died. And actually for Northern Ireland, and we punch well above our weight when it comes to missionary enterprise. And yet that's on the fade, but we do praise God for that. And there's a tremendous need in this island. I will just hit a wee bit when you say most people would put evangelical Christians in the Republic of Ireland, and again, I don't keep the numbers, I don't know whose names are written in the Lamb Book of Life, I leave that to the Lord, but it's a low percentage. Many put it as low as half of 1%. And I think in Operation World they'd have it as high as 1.5%. And a lot of that's from immigrants that have come into the country in the last 12 years. So if you take a national Irishman living in the Republic of Ireland, probably that 0.5% is near the threshold. What a need on this island home of ours. And that's where the Lord really has. And then I just put that figure. We used to have a figure of percentage evangelical Christians in Northern Ireland. I don't put that figure up any longer. But trust me, there's still a tremendous population of believers. And yet I think we need to be stirred once again. We need to see a revival. We need to see God move even in this part of the province. I just take that out when we think of the Republic of Ireland. And I can make a point. And it's great to see people coming from this church to Drogheda. Well, there's such a near mission field. But if you look up our Operation World, and I just pulled out and you can read the rest of it. One thing that's quite staggering when you think a tremendous need in another part of Ireland, that actually within a 50-kilometre radius of Belfast is one of the highest concentration of evangelical churches in the world. Now, I think, and I don't know whether you come into that catchment area, but if you take that Newton Arch Road, that area of Belfast, there's supposed to be one of the highest concentration of evangelical churches probably in the world per square mile. And yet, I will make this point, that on this exact same island, there is a tremendous need in the Republic of Ireland, where there are very few evangelical churches at all. I was down at the Bangor Worldwide where your pastor chaired some of the meetings and all of that just one morning, and Gordon Stewart of Asia Link, he was given a report, and he said, take example Ballyclare, where we come from, we place Ballyrobert outside. He said in that area there's 16,000 people and there's 30 evangelical churches, and there are many towns in Ireland where there's no evangelical church whatsoever. Bangor, which is a much larger population, he said he stopped counting at over 60. And so, you know, proportionally, we can be very much in our comfort zone here, but I really believe, you know, in this day, we need to be starting to think, you know, the Lord's wee geographical map. There's Jerusalem, and you've done a tremendous job this last weekend, 6,000 leaflets give out, and doing your work here, that's where you start. You're Jerusalem. You're Judea, maybe that's Northern Ireland, I don't know. But your Samaria could well be the Republic of Ireland then to the uttermost parts there. So there's a tremendous need in this island. Now, one of the things we've been doing here, an exercise to do, I haven't got the Republic yet, I will get there, don't worry. We're exercised a few years ago to get a bit of gospel literature into every home in Northern Ireland, and we're still working on that. A group called IEB, the Irish Evangelistic Band, is doing that in the Republic of Ireland, has done that, only a small mission, and through the postal distribution they've put a bit of gospel literature into every home in the Republic of Ireland, and the Lord exercised that we might be able to do that. And actually we used your pastor's Why Jesus, 100,000 of those into them, and I think there's about over 800,000 residential homes in Northern Ireland, and that's where we're at the moment, and we've just 100,000 more homes to do. We have them printed, and once we get the postage money, that will be, we trust, it'd be over 90%, well over 90% of every home in Northern Ireland. We've got a bit of gospel literature, and we trust that God will use that, that just like the literature you give out, that, that someone will read it. And it might be the start of their journey to come to the Saviour. And the other thing we have, and I like to plug this as well, is we have a wee charity shop in Port Lanoan, and I've been involved in that from the last 3 or 4 years as well. It was really handed over to us, and I sort of do the liaison man there, do the van an odd day too, for we struggle with getting people to drive the van. I'll be out this Thursday in the will of God. And but it's a great way of raising funds. I only mention that because if you ever read, clearing out the attic, or used wives might need a new suite of furniture, and if it's fireproof, we'll take the old one for you with a van. That's if you don't already donate it somewhere else. But just to make you aware of that, and also, and those a wee bit far away, we have a tremendous need for volunteers in that shop in Port Lanoan. But, you know, it's also, Port Lanoan, I've come to love it actually over the last 3 and 4 years, a very mixed town, you know what I mean, with a mixed town, and with people from every community coming into it, buying goods, and very soft evangelism. There's gospel tracts, some people come in with their needs over the years, and you can pray for them. So there's an outreach in Port Lanoan, but then the funds are raised, and the monies, I don't know whether you want a new shade for your light or whatever, but you'll get it in Port Lanoan. If you're down through Port Lanoan, we'll sort you out. And then there's a van, and we have need for van drivers and all that sort of thing too. But the work goes to support work in Haiti and Colombia and in Ireland. And it's just amazing how that can help just to progress the work through just people giving of their time, giving of their second-hand goods and all the rest of it. And it raises funds for these tremendous needs in these countries. Thank you for that. Now, then we come to the Republic of Ireland. And I had done, when I was in agriculture business, we traded, I worked with John Thompson's animal feed company here in the town, and we had customers in the Republic of Ireland. They used to be down in the Republic of Ireland, very nice people, but never really was involved in evangelism, really, in the Republic of Ireland until 2007. In fact, we've had people down since, and they were never over the border, never mind evangelising. There's one man particularly says, I wouldn't give them my money. I'm not going there. And now he's down the night, actually. He's staying in the house, he's doing work. And you couldn't keep him across just because, listen, Ireland needs a saviour. Doesn't matter what background they come from. Doesn't matter what their political thinking is. You can hold your own view, that's your own business. But they all need the saviour. And as far as the scriptures concerned, he died for the whosoever will. So it's a tremendous need. And again, there'll be different figures come up here between 0.5% and all the rest of it. So some of these slides will show between 0.5% and 1.5%. But this particular pulled off. Ireland is the least churched English speaking country in the world. Would you believe that? I mean, you take America and England and all the countries that speak English across the world, and African countries, it is the least churched, evangelized country in that sense in the world. Now, if that is a fact, it's amazing that if we have one of the highest concentration of evangelical Christians around Belfast and a 50-mile, and then in this same island is one of the least evangelical parts of the world, well, I think we have a responsibility to reach the people in Ireland. That's not to make them, excuse the language, Ulster prods. It's to reach them for Christ and to preach the gospel. And that's, again, just to give you a wee run-in, a guy, Johnny Grant, he's a Baptist pastor in Cork. Again, you know, these sort of figures all come out about the Republic of Ireland is one of the lowest evangelical populations in all of Europe, around 0.5%. Now, I'm not so sure about that statistic, but it's a low percentage of evangelical Christians, and there's an amazing need. And I will make this point, for I think the next slide does it too. You think of the older population as Ireland as being a Roman Catholic country and dark and all of that sense, and in many ways that's true, but Ireland and young Ireland today is more a secular, materialistic type country, far from religion altogether. And in fact, some of the people in Drogheda have found that out when they're talking, particularly to the young people. They may have been that background, but they no longer are practicing Catholics, and many of them are actually hostile towards it. So there's an amazing need and there's an amazing opportunity. Now, some of the things, actually, some of the most liberal laws have actually been passed in the Republic of Ireland in the last few years, and not going to that, about same-sex marriage and abortion laws. They just changed the laws. It's a completely changed country in terms of secularism, materialism, and all of that. So it's a very liberal type country in the younger population. And while someone said a lot of them are a la carte Catholics, they just pick the wee bits that suit them, and well, there are many up here do the same, my dad, no matter what background. But it's a country, if you maybe think it's a dark type of Catholic country, and in many ways that have been the past, it's a country secular, materialistic, away from religion, giving up on religion, and turning from God in all his ways. And yet, in that, there's a great opportunity for sharing Christ. There's an open door. And actually, you can have many, many meaningful conversations. And in fact, most of the people in any evangelism I have done, you'd get maybe more opposition from people here. They'll argue their point, they'll talk to you, they'll do all of the rest, all of the above, but you don't get run out of town any longer. There's an opportunity to share Christ, and I believe there's an open door at the minute in Ireland. And God's at work, by the way, in Ireland against all of that. Another one that I pulled out of one of the papers, and it was quite amazing because showed it in my lifetime over 40 years ago, the last Pope came to Ireland, and there was a massive congregation, people gathered together, way over a million people. And yet, at that same gathering the year, you know, this one on the left represents 40 years ago, and that represents the same type of gathering. And that gives you the way they have moved away from their own religion to no religion, I might add, and some culture taking the place. But there's still, in many people's life, there's something missing. Some of them are seeking, some of them are searching, some of them are arguing, but there's an opportunity to share Christ in the Republic of Ireland. So I think it's not only a needy country, but I think it's a country that's open to share Christ, and opportunities exist in the island of Ireland at the moment. And one of our strategies right from the beginning is that we like to work with national believers. And actually the Cowmans, that was the main founders of the mission, said that a nation is best won by its own sons and daughters. And what we try to do, and actually our total approach in the Republic of Ireland, we don't plant any of our own churches, we work with the evangelical church that exists, and it is growing. And actually in the last 50 years it's growing, in the last 30 years it's growing even more, and I would suggest every time I go through a town, there's some other wee fellowship trying to start. So God is at work, and there's an infrastructure. And I'll show you a wee bit, bore you more statistics in a minute or two. But I believe that the Lord is laying a groundwork. And we need to pray. If there's nothing else, and it was great to take a few minutes out to pray for Drogheda. But, you know, I was listening to the radio one day, and I'm putting around my head about some organisation was talking about 2020. And they said on the 20th of the month they wanted people to pray for 20 minutes for whatever their mission was. And I was thinking, well, that's a good idea. Maybe if we get people even once a month, on the 20th of month, to pay 20 minutes for Ireland, because there are many needs in Ireland. Why could you not do that, not for North and South, even in your own mind, say, in 2020, if the Lord tarries, and we're going to hear about the Lord's return, you could return long before 2020, but why not on the 20th of the month take 20 minutes just to pray for this island home of ours, along with others? So that's something I'm working on in my mind, and we might try and get in a bit of paper yet, but we're committed to working with, partnering with the evangelical church. One of them we do, and many do, is Calvary Mission in the west of Ireland. A man, Podge Mulvihill, he's been working there, we work along with Podge and try to support them anyway, whether it's practical work and trying to, like a new building like this, or got them leaflets to give out there a while ago, actually discs he was giving out round the door, something that you've done. Well, we'd get the materials and give it to them and let them get on with it, because sometimes funds is not great. And just encouragement. And a friend of this fellowship too, Stephen Williamson, who done the Republic of Ireland before me, Stephen and I are still very friendly, and we have him doing a pastoral role. And Stephen, in fact, if you're down there tomorrow, would visit some of these pastors who's a lonely trail to go, just come alongside them and pray with them, encourage with them, talk things over in a confidential way and help them. And anyway, good. Lorraine and I will actually be here the night, believe it or not, we're heading for Roscommon after this meeting, for we have a meeting at 9 in the morning. And there's a fellow, Michael Walsh. That is a pub, by the way. And now it's a church. and they have a wee cafe called Olive Branch Cafe. And there's big stories behind all of these. And actually, quite miraculous, there's no debt on that building any longer. And again, in the early days of that, we had men go down and help to renovate the building and get it up and going. And this is how we can draw along the sort of Irish church, Irish people, and say, how can we help you? We're not coming to tell them what they should be doing. We're coming alongside them and saying, how can we help you? And, well, Joe knows this man down in Ballinasloe, and I know the church here had helped that out. But I've come to know through the Ballinasloe Horse Fair and introduced really through Ronnie McCracken and all of that. But just to get to know Tim and Marie, we'll be there, God willing, next Sunday. Well, that's the horse show, but we'll have to see Tim and Marie next week about a thing as well. And it's just great to come along to see most of these people I've mentioned so far have been saved from a Roman Catholic background. Now, you might be all Protestants here tonight, but you're not saved. You need to be saved too, no matter what background you come from. The wee man, Pastor Tom Orr, he's now with the Lord, and he was in this house one night, and the lady says, I want to introduce you to a converted Catholic. And he went over and he shook hands and he says, I want to tell you, it's just great to meet you. I'm a converted Protestant. And you know, tonight, there's only two types of people, those that are saved and those that are lost. Those who are born again of the Spirit of God and those who are not. And that's where we need to be tonight, to make sure we're right with God. Isn't that right? And that's what we want for the people of Ireland. So it's just amazing over these last 3 or 4 years, and I'm building up relationships, networking with them. As you know, Ronnie McCracken, through his ministry, raised a lot of funds in that building that they bought. That's the horse fair. You know, it's now opened to the glory of God and the debt paid. And even by bringing Stephen down and talking to them, we were fit to put a package together and get them to apply to some trust, and they got quite a significant amount of money that way as well. So this is how we just can help the Irish Evangelical Church to come alongside them and say, how can we help them? Pray over it. And it's just amazing what God does and what God is doing. And that's wonderful. We have two missionary folk. We have a young girl from America working in Dublin, more in youth. I'm not going to that tonight. And we have then one of the things in Calvary Mission, if we can recruit missionaries or the call of God in the life, well, then we place missionaries with these folk. And the Pollock family are with Calvary Mission working at a place called Lochray, which is just the other side of Ballinasloe. And actually, the start of that little church were people from Ballinasloe Fellowship who lived in Lochray, and Tim and Marie said, you know, they're looking for a church nearby, and there's a church being planted there now. So just how God works. One of the other things we do is help to do some research just to see the need in Ireland. And I often think of Nehemiah when he came in, he quietly walked around the walls and he observed them, he seen the need, and we had to give them several £1,000. A group called Aintus, their Association of Independent Churches, and they have given a lot of good research, identified towns and areas that there's no gospel witness, and then it lets people know where there's a need and where evangelists need to go into, where there's church planting need and all of that sort of thing. So it's good to have that background as well. And but, you know, many needs. That's why I quoted places like Ballyclare, 16,000 population, 30 churches, and yet there are towns bigger with really no gospel outreach at all. And there's a tremendous need in many towns, and they have a lot of research, and right down to areas of Dublin, which a lot of churches in Dublin, but their areas are not, no churches with a large population. There are other large towns with no real evangelical witness. So they identify that, do work on that, and then start to pray on how can we get work going in those areas, in those regions. So we would do research like that. There's just something of encouragement. They have identified at 255 evangelical churches. And by the way, I'll show you another one now. The Evangelical Alliance have identified 504 evangelical churches in the Republic of Ireland. But 60% of them, this is the thing, God's at work, 60% formed in the last 30 years. Isn't that amazing, really, when you think about it? And actually, that's happening. There are some areas are not as good as others, but that's in every county of all the 26 counties. There's bigger need in some than others, but there's a scattering of churches being planted all over Ireland. And I believe God is, you know, laying down an infrastructure for a move of God. And pray that we would experience a real move of God in this island, north, south, east, and west. Don't be geographical about it. Take the whole island, pray that God would move in this island. So God is at work, things are happening. And as they say there, from that information, there's a lot more to be done. And, well, I'm as an individual a member of that, ain't us, just to get alongside evangelicals down there. But the Evangelical Alliance, it was in a lot of the local press recently, and I pulled some of it off too. And they talk about the four main churches. This is independent churches, Baptist churches, all those type of churches. And they have identified it, 504 of those, with a population of, attends about 49 to 60 people. An average, some are a lot smaller. And I just divided that again, multiplied up and divided. Still only about 0.5% of the population. So it's still a great need. But a lot of these churches, again, was formed in the last 30 years. The other thing we do is try to come along churches and do, outreach. One of the things we've done here is exactly what you've done last weekend. What a wonderful thing to a church to come together and go to their locality and give out 6,000 pieces of gospel literature. That's wonderful. Only to say that, I live in Ballyrobert, and it's the Brethren folk, and they've been doing that for since we went there 19 years. And they have actually a children's wee work and all now going, the Mothers in Tots, which is not always in a Brethren Hall, I might add. But they've got into the community. But they do it about twice a year, every year. And I could see some of the wee folk come, and it's a wonderful thing just to see that happening. And so don't make it a one-year wonder, I'd say. Keep going and getting into the community is very, very important. So we help and do people, and that's the church we've done this year. And we've done 5,000 along with some of the church, and we give out an invite to the church, plus this wee booklet called Knowing God Personally. And again, not going into all that writing, but the pastor wrote back to us after saying, and since the outreach, we've had 2 family units visiting the church. Isn't that wonderful? So we praise God for that. So those are the sort of things we do. We do Kilpatrick every year, and this is a sort of on the last Sunday in July, where these pilgrims walk the mountain, and you read all the rules and regulations of getting indulgences to get them out of purgatory, which doesn't exist, by the way. But we do outreach there and give out juice and give out gospel literature, just in a very soft way as they come off the mountain. I'm also involved in the wee group. I couldn't kick a ball straight, I might add, but Coaching for Christ in Hockle. I've been associated with them as a director for the last 10 years. But bring them down south too, into areas where children, it's one of the youngest countries in the world, throw a ball down and children love it and they play soccer. So we're down there in Galway in a place called Tuam, and it hits the news for the wrong reasons, but we're down there the year. And one wee girl got saved, and I believe she was genuinely saved, I have to say. And we worked in Galway in a place called Tuam. And I'll just mention this wee fella here, Edward. They said, we don't know what's going to happen in Tuam because we have booked the football pitch, we've given out invites, but we don't know who turned up. Arrived the first day, who turned up? One, Edward. Some of the coaches said were disappointed, and they said, Edward, he says, what are you going to do anyway? And they told him, he said, if we just come back tomorrow, have I got some? Said, well, and some of the ones said, tell you, Edward, if you can bring 5, we'll give you a bar of chocolate. He says, if I bring 10, will you give me 2 bars of chocolate? Uh-huh, no problem. Many had Edward the next day, 19. And he was a real wee, there's a whole story about that there. It was over 30 children, but actually most of them came from the travelling community. And it was amazing just what we were fit to do in those few days through wee Edward. Now, there's a name for you. If you remember, Edward, we hope to go back next year. And actually, the boy says, one of the travelling folks says, you come back next year, there's such and such a man, if you contact him, he'll have half a chew him at this. And somebody says, I wonder who he is. I says, probably Edward's father. But anyway, it was just great to share gospel and the appreciation of those travelling folk, but to tell them about the Lord Jesus. And I would say those children never heard the gospel presentation. And every day, they get a 5 or 10 minute presentation of the gospel. There was a team, they're a rough enough bunch, but they went to Drogheda. You heard about that all last night. They were one of the most unruly ones. We'll not talk much about them. But again, just to see the amazing harvest field in the Republic of Ireland. And you know, one of the things, and I know that's a real blunt one, that's a quotation by a man, W.P. Nicholson, have you ever heard? And he put things really blunt. But one of the things that hit me when there were 600,000 people goes through a town in 1 week, and if you start to see a way beyond time, and to start to see souls. And oh God, may we never grow used here in the thud of Christless feet on the road to hell. Now that's a blunt way, and it came, as I say, as a quotation of W.P. Nicholson. But again, just to let you know, this is the reality, and why we need to reach the lost for Jesus. Just a wee thing already. It's going to be in Mullingar, God willing, next year. So you know, Castlereagh Fellowship could start praying about that now, couldn't they? We've done some questionnaires, just to mention this. One reason I'm down there tomorrow. And please pray about this, for it's a big vision. And a number of the ones down there said we'd love some national campaign where we could get all the churches, or out of those 500 or whatever exists, to take up some campaign and have a national campaign of sharing Christ in Ireland. It never has been done before in the Republic of Ireland. It's been done here, been done in Scotland, done in England, all the places. But a national campaign, and it's going to be based around basically questions people are asking today, and we're doing a survey. And we're having one of those meetings tomorrow, and we're working with OAM, if you know, Operation Mobilisation, and we're working with the Christian Union Ireland, and we're working then with some individual pastors. So we have a wee steering committee, and we'd love to see that happening in the will of God, maybe about 2021, if we could pull it all together and put a whole campaign together. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we just could have a national campaign of the gospel? And it's just not a 6-week wonder what we're looking at. There'd be discipleship, follow-up, training, evangelism, all of that sort of thing that would run with it. So it's a big vision, but please do it. We bring people like George Conn down into rural areas to talk about the Harry, and we'll have them down later. We have a wee place we rent in Mullingar, and that's what I would stay at. I'm down there, and we do a wee Bible study down there. And we're at 7:30. And that's just a wee overview of some of the things we do. I really appreciate you having us tonight. And would you just remember that I used to sell Feed the Farmers, and now we're trying to really reach the lost for Jesus. And that's more exciting, but I can tell you it's more challenging. And it doesn't all run smoothly. I can tell you that too. So we had asked you for your prayers. And just if we do nothing more tonight, to just please do pray for a real move of God in this island. I'm looking forward to a revival in Ireland. I done a dissertation through the Baptist folk a number of years ago, doing a master's thing, and asked the question, is it possible for the church in Ireland to experience revival in the 21st century? And doing the Bible background to that. I went one night and a boy asked a similar question. He had one word. I'd have read 20,000 words or something, or maybe even more. He said, absolutely. Absolutely. But one of the things we need to do is to start praying that there be a move of God on our island home. Now I took all my minutes, so thank you.
Father, would you just close in prayer?
Love to do that. Our loving Father, we do come into thy presence again at the end of this hour. We thank you, Lord, for Castlereagh Fellowship. We thank you for the good folk here. We thank you how you're blessing them. We thank you, Lord, for this building we're in, which is a miracle of God's grace again. We thank you for every member. We thank you for every friend. We thank you, Lord, for the fellowship in the gospel in Drogheda, and Lord, just to getting to know some of the good folk here. We thank you, Lord, for getting to know Jeff over these last few years, and this tremendous ministry, Lord, of just the writing ministry as well, of why Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, why you? Because there's no other way to heaven but through you and you alone. And why the cross? And there's no way of getting to glory only via the cross. And this other tremendous booklet, why the second coming? And we believe, Lord, we're on the verge of your coming, but Lord, will you keep us faithful until that day, reaching the lost for Jesus. So, Lord, we just thank you for this hour together. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of praying for Ireland. And we pray now, as we part one from another, will you bring us to our separate homes in safety. And it's the name of the Lord Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.